blessing. We've been through a lot of crooks and turns in the last year or two, but he's been right there. And, you know, so often we forget that you have to take a stand. If you believe something, you'll take a stand, haven't you? If you don't, you'll fall for anything. So as you think about that, I've been here a long time, and I don't intend to fall over some of these toes I stumble over sometimes, so I'm going to try to preach on. I've learned something about preaching the gospel. It works every time. If you have your Bible tonight, I will ask you to turn to the book of Matthew, St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Someone said you can't backslide, but I believe you can backslide. The Bible speaks about it very briefly, and tonight you can hear a lot about that if you read it. My son-in-law goes to a Baptist church, and he thinks, well, there ain't no way you can do wrong and get lost after you've known the Lord. But there was five wise virgins, there was five foolish, five of them went to heaven, five of them didn't make it, and they were saved people. They couldn't have had the vessel if they hadn't been saved. Think about that. We're going to preach on them a little bit tonight. I'm going to show you some things I believe that the Lord will bless us in doing. So, and I welcome Brother William V. Beasley. He's with me tonight. He's our neighbor, and we appreciate him coming. He's certainly a man that you can always depend on. If he could help you, he's always been there, and I appreciate him. He's meant a lot to our ministry. He don't know that. I don't tell many people that. I don't want them to know him. But anyway, he's been a lot to our ministry and meant a lot. And we're so glad tonight to have him and all the rest of you. But we wish the house was full. Maybe some more come tomorrow night. I know some were coming tonight and they got tied up. But the thing about it is tonight, if you really realize the beauty of your Christian faith, you know why the five foolish people were mentioned in this scripture? They were religious. They had gone out there and they were religious. Real, genuine salvation isn't religious, you're godly. Think about that. Got a lot of oil in your lamp, did you know that? You ever thought about which was different and which more important, to be half full or half empty? Somebody said, well, it don't make no difference. Yes, it makes a lot of difference when you said the Bible, and the Bible tells us to be ye filled with the Spirit. When you're half empty, you've been filled and you're down to the halfway mark. When you're half full up to it, you stop right there and didn't get nothing else. You just become lukewarm and sit there. So there's a lot of difference in being filled and then down halfway in there. So think about that. Someone said, no, that don't make no difference. Yes, it does. If you've had a whole glass of something, if you give me a $100 bill and I spend $50 of it, I've had the $100, hadn't I? If you gave me $50 and I still got the $50, I didn't ever have but $50. So, that's the way it works. So this business of being a Christian tonight gives us an opportunity to know that there is responsibility, for the Lord is going to one day come back. The bridegroom will come whether we know it or not. Let's read just a few moments now. I'll try not to preach all night to you. St. Matthew 25 and 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins. See, we're talking about heaven here, the kingdom of heaven. If it was just saying there was five people that were worried about the kingdom, it would have said five, but there's 10 of them. So there was 10 of them. And so they were thinking, and it was likened unto the heaven itself. The Lord Jesus spake these words. So the 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, they were all headed in the same direction. Now, everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is not going to heaven. You've got to do the will of God to get to heaven. You got to go by the spiritual man. You can't go by the religious world. You can't go with everybody else. You will go individually if you see the Lord Jesus personally. And so you think about that. So five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps. They had everything you would have starting out in the spiritual world. They had the privilege to have the goods. But what happened? The lamp is a symbol of the old tabernacle we are, and the oil is a symbol of the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. Think about it. So they were foolish, took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil." What did I say about individually? You'll get to heaven individually, not because somebody else is good. Mom and daddy can't get you there. The preacher can't get you there. You'll get there by the personality of the Spirit of God. Be ye filled with the Spirit. The oil is a symbol of the filling of the Spirit and the activity of the Holy Spirit of God. Think about it. And if you didn't have some oil, then you ain't doing much for the Lord, are you? So look what happened. So they were in those situations. The eighth verse. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you." See, you ain't got enough oil for everybody else. Everybody else has to get his portion. You got to get busy if you get to heaven. You can't sit down and wait. Listen to what he said, because you don't know when he's coming. That man or whoever got killed today didn't know they were going to die today. But they're gone. Somebody's in eternity tonight. I don't know where they're at. But I do know this. They're dead, they said. All right, listen to this. And grief is left behind. And while they went to buy the bridegroom, go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. See, the wise told them what to do. They shouldn't have had to ask the wise. They should have known when their salvation came that they had a privilege. If they were virgins, they had a privilege to know how and everything was to be met for them, and they just didn't take advantage. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in and with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered, see, he was their Lord, they thought. And he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Sorry about that. Sorry. Sorry I never knew you. We've heard that song, haven't we? "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I'm going to get out under this fan a little bit. But as you think about the beauty of the Bible, and you look at the Word of God, you'll find the Scripture is so plain today to give us a point and a direction. When the Bible says there has to be oil in your lamp, you better make sure you're ready with some oil. You better make sure you've been in worship. Let me tell you what I believe happened to those that were unwise. The foolish virgins, they had a privilege just like anybody else. Every one of you in this church has a privilege just like this preacher does and anybody else, your own pastor. You have a privilege to go to heaven tonight, but you better have some oil in your lamp. You got me? Now, let's talk for just a few moments why I don't think there was any oil in the other fellow's lamps or those virgins, whether they were men or women. I don't know who it was. It don't matter. You can be a virgin man. You can be a virgin woman. But they were in the Lord, so to speak. But as you look at it tonight and you think about it for a moment, why in the world would those virgins that were unwise, they were foolish, why in the world didn't they want something that was important to them to know that they had a light in case they needed it? Did you know tonight the devil can blind a member of a church just as good as he can blind a devil out there to somewhere? He can blind the church. The Bible says, "To be ye not deceived." Jesus warns us to be ready, be filled with the Spirit. Don't let yourself be deceived by the devil. See, the devil works on every one of us if he can.
Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, submit to the Lord, and the devil will flee from you. How in the world is that going to happen? You're never going to get any better than what you are today. You got saved if you don't accept and follow after Christ Jesus. You got to walk after the spiritual man. You can't go after the flesh after you're saved. If you do, it's enmity towards God, the Bible says. Look at the 8th chapter of Romans. You'll find it all through there about the flesh and the spirit. This continually warfare, so to speak. But your life tonight, if you're unwise or if you're a foolish virgin, and some are tonight that are in churches today, we've got them in ours, you've got them in yours. Somebody ought to be at revival tonight that's laying out. Somebody ought to be at the next church revival that's laying out. Why in the world does a man, if he's going to take time out to dress up once or twice a month and come to church, why in the world wouldn't he want to be saved at the end? I don't understand. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His right. What in the world's wrong with people today that will let the flesh deceive them of an eternal life with the Lord Jesus? But people do that, do they not? People will believe anything. They'll take the Word of God and they'll turn it every way but loose, and they will fuss and argue about it, and they don't know one thing about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. The beauty of life comes in the acclamation of being filled with the Spirit of God. Being blessed by God. Walk in the Spirit as I am in the Spirit. Walk in the light as I am in the light. You'll find the beauty of holiness when you walk after the Spirit of God. If you're going to live in the Spirit, the Bible says, to walk after the Spirit. That's why the Lord's looking. But that man that will not lift a hand for revival, that man that won't come to foot washing and communion, that person that won't do this or do that, listen to me tonight, they're going to be surprised when the bridegroom cometh. He's coming and they're going to wonder. They're going to stand at that door there, and 20 years from now they'll probably be standing at the door or whenever. The first resurrection. If they're not in the first resurrection, friend, this old church will be run by the devil from that day on till the Lord comes and does destruction. And won't it be amazing tonight to know how many virgins is in that group that didn't desire to follow after a Lord, a Savior, someone that had paid His life. He paid for them. He gave them everything they needed. By His stripes we can be made whole. We can be healed. We can have everything we need. His life, the blood shed for you and I, is life for us. In Him is life. The blood is the life for the children of God today. These five foolish virgins had the privilege to be just like anybody else, to be led by the Spirit and be out there working and striving and winning lost souls. Listen to me tonight. The foolish virgins didn't care about who went to hell. They went too. The door was shut. But what about the very wise ones? The foolish ones, they wouldn't come to church. They'd complain at everything. They'd run down the preacher. That preacher, you don't have none of that. Everything in the world goes on today, and we think we're so right. Listen, I've heard today, even myself today, I heard of a situation this morning, a church probably with 1,200 people in it. They've got trouble. They've lost a preacher, and he had the church running on his own jurisdiction. I don't know that there's a church in the world that's supposed to be run by man. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And if anybody runs this church, you ought to get them a chair and set them up here every Sunday and let them run the church. But I don't believe nobody hit that chair around here, do you, brother? Anyway, I don't believe nobody will be in that chair. Why? Jesus runs the church today. Jesus is our hope today. He's our salvation today. He's the only one that I can call upon that'll do for me what I need. I don't understand today why we think it takes a committee here, a committee there. In my daughter's church, they're looking at a preacher. They're looking. People are in there. The wheat and tares are in the church today. Don't you ever think the church is perfect today? One day it'll be. Now let me tell you something here. The church in the church is perfect. Think about that. There's a church in the church. There's a God church, and we're talking about the other church tonight. That's just here. The foolish virgins, they thought they were prepared. If I was in that shape tonight, and all of a sudden something hit me with a ball peen hammer and woke me up,
I would be a madman to know I'd been deceived. Like I believe I mentioned to you the other night about some people that are in different denominations and said they had deceived them for years. And there are even doctors in Smithfield. I know some veterinarians down at Smithfield that are doctors that their Catholic people had lied to them, didn't give them the truth. And she was like a vessel, a foolish vessel in the sight of God. Now I'm talking about in God's sight, they were foolish. In the bridegroom's sight, they were foolish. Tonight, if you're living for Christ's sake, good and fine. But if you're living because of your sake, sorry for you, because you've got a bad day ahead of you. Jesus is Lord today. He's the only way, the truth, and the life tonight. And if you don't come by Him, you won't do anything but be an empty vessel when the time comes to be here in the bridegroom and have your shade trimmed. I remember Mama used to get up. We were born when there was no lights in our area. And I remember when Mother would get up and take that old lamp and lift the shade, clean that thing, and put a new wick in the lamp sometime, get a little clean kerosene oil. You could see right through it. And you know what? You could look through that glass and you could see. And I couldn't see nothing that far. I didn't learn much in school. But I'll tell you what I did learn. When the light was on, you could see the light. Why? Mama kept the shade ready for us to see the best we could at what we had. If you can't have some oil in your lamp tonight, if your vessel doesn't hold oil tonight, it's because you didn't go get any. People won't be revived because they didn't come to get any. They won't have any oil because they didn't think they need any. But listen to me, these virgins needed some oil, every one of them. And think about it, the oil that the five needed that they didn't have. The wise people's oil wouldn't fit in their lamp. Why? No honor had been bestowed upon it. They had done nothing. The other people would receive all honor and glory. They wouldn't get anything. But all of a sudden, when the bridegroom comes and everybody begins to hear, no revivals in the empty vessels, no one cared about. I was hoping to see this house full this week. And if people loved the Lord like they ought to, it would have been. I'll tell you today what's wrong with our church over at Pleasant Plain. We've got just about this many goes out there. And I'll tell you what, when it's down in the very valley and the dumps of life and you think the preacher can do you any good, I got news for you. It's not the preacher that you need. You need the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God to lift your life and bring your life to a relationship that'll do good. You can't do it yourself. I can't do it. I told Brother Jim and I've told others. I've lost my Bible, but I've told many others. I said, if I go preach for you, I'll preach the Word. If that don't do you no good, you won't get nothing from me. Because this is the Word. That's the work right there. That's where your oil comes from. There's where you learn how to live. There's where you learn how to make peace with God, peace with your brother, peace with everybody. It's a joy today to have the peace of God in your heart, isn't it? Then the oil can come flowing. The beauty of living can flow through your life. The beauty of righteousness can prevail in your life. You'll know the difference in the oil and the empty vessel. The Bible says you shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. Did you know tonight that there's a witness of the Spirit? And you can tell, people don't think you can see through them. But if a man's not right with God, a spiritual man can see all the way through it. Because the Lord reveals it to you. Tonight, let me say something to you. Let's leave those empty vessels for a few moments. If you want to know something about how to be filled with the Spirit of God, if we want to know something about what to do with the Lord, why don't you get busy and learn about God? Why don't you get in the old book? Sit down. Why don't you come to the church or go to your prayer closet sometime. Spend a half a day with the Lord. You won't know you've been there over 15 minutes. And sit down and cry and weep before God. And find your way out of the darkness of the flesh. And find your way to the presence of God. Let Him fill your vessel for you. Let Him walk in your life. And then you'll walk in the community. And they'll know the difference in who you are. It doesn't matter today about me so much, but it matters about every one of us. Everyone. We all have a duty to perform if we get to heaven.
I want to go to heaven, don't you? You ask people, don't you want to go to heaven? Everybody's going. Raise your hand if you're going to heaven. I'm telling you, if you don't have some oil in that lamp, you're not going. Backslidden people don't go to heaven unless they repent. They have to repent. John said, I would that you sin not, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. You can pray if you sin. That means you backslid. If you don't pray that sin and get that sin out of your way, flesh and blood is not going to heaven. Heaven is not made for nothing but saved sinners under the blood of the Lamb. Think about it. But these that were there, think for just a moment with me. We're going to close. We're not going to be over another hour. But we're going to close shortly. But let me tell you something tonight. I can see those wise virgins. I can see the five that were when the bridegroom came and the doors were open and he came and he says, here I am, enter thou in. I can tell you, I can see them right now as they went in. The joy of the Lord, the precious love of the oil was there. Their lamps were trimmed. I can see very many people hanging on the edges of their eternal spirit as they went into the bridegroom chamber. I can tell you tonight, it's time for the church today. It's time for every Christian today to get themselves out of trouble and get in line with the precious work of the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit fill your vessel and become a vessel half empty instead of half full. Get to where God can bless you at. When you get half empty, you know that means you've been full and something good's happened. Somebody's saved because of it. Somebody is not sick anymore because of it. Somebody needs to pray, be prayed for. Have you thought of that lately? You say, preacher, go see so-and-so. What about you going to see him? That's where you get filled with the Spirit. If you would be honest with yourself tonight, the greatest news in the world tonight is when your spirit is overwhelmed by the presence of God because you were willing to come and make sacrifice for someone else. There's something in life important, and that's your spiritual man. That's the only thing that's really important. He said, crucify the other part, didn't he? Miss Barbara, well, I don't believe she was hardly able to sing tonight. I know she'd been sick here back. She went and sung for us on television one night, her and J.E., and I was so glad they did good. She's my girl. I love to hear her sing. But you know what? If she said no, and I thought about it while she was sitting up there, I just saw the Lord get a hold of her and give her some strength, and she buckled up, and she started pushing it on out. And she feels good today. A little bit more oil's in her lamp tonight. It's about more than she can carry, probably. She'll probably be shouting after a while or something. But anyway, the beauty of living comes when you're willing to acknowledge your direction of life. Honor the Lord. Seek the Lord with all of your heart, soul, body, and mind. These five virgins that were wealthy, the wise ones, they had the oil they needed. They had been somewhere in an old-fashioned meeting. Maybe they were at Powhatan some years ago, but they were in a meeting and someone got blessed and someone helped and someone did this, and maybe I was there. I hope I was. I hope I was one of those virgins. Because listen, you've got to be a virgin to be a Christian. Your sins have to be gone. You've got to be right with God. You've got to be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else matters. It's you and the Lord Jesus. You're His child. He's the bride. You're the husband, so to speak. I mean, He's the husband. You're the bride. You've got to be ready for Him. And that's the beauty of living. Tonight, our lives have to be a manifestation of the presence of Jesus Christ. I don't know if we realize it or not, but there is so much going on in this world today. People do not even know what revival is about. They don't know. Revival ain't coming to this church right here every week and every revival. Revival is when you get with yourself, with the Lord, by yourself, and the Spirit of God takes over your life and directs your life and shows you what to do and how to live. That's revival. That's the way you go with the Lord. So then you have oil in your lamp. You say, well, I don't worry about the gas. I don't worry about this. I need gas. Listen, you don't need nothing but oil in your lamp. And if you serve Christ, you have oil. You have plenty of oil. Keep on, you know, sometimes few years ago, Monkey said, oh, a gas is going up to $2.50 a gallon. That's been about 20 years ago or so. I said, Uncle Joe, I can't afford that kind of gas. I said, but I'll tell you what, I believe the Lord will look after him. I've been driving ever since. Last weekend when it went up to about $4 or $5 at places, I had a quarter's worth in my tank. I still got a quarter's worth. They were paying $4 and $5 for it. I got me some for $3.85 Sunday, whenever it was, when I finally had to buy some. I want to tell you this, and it's hard to believe. Arnie, he needs to hear this tonight. I hate he's out tonight. But sometimes a wise virgin, and think about this, you're a wise virgin if you're in Christ Jesus. You belong to him. You remember that. He's the bridegroom, and you're the bride. He's coming back after you one day. But one day, it's been a year or so ago, C.G. Dowdy, some of you might know him, Bunk knows him, probably he's out of Four Oaks on the other road over there, not far from us. But there was a young boy come by on a Chevrolet pickup, and his gas give out as he was there, and I was helping Mr. Dowdy a little bit. And the Lord put me there that day, I know he did. And the boy's gas give out. And I was there cutting a tree down for Mr. Coolidge. I do a little bit of everything, you know, besides preach. But anyway, I've got to drop this one off to you, Miss Barbara. I had some church members one day from up the road that their gas give out at the ABC store in Smithfield. So the preacher goes by, they just coastered in when it give out, and they happened to be in the ABC store yard. So I go by, and I saw him, and I didn't stop. I saw somebody helping him pour gas in the car. So I went on. Then on Sunday, I got to church. I said, well, Diane Johnson and her sister was getting the gas. I said, Diane, did you get that gas out of the ABC store? And she said, did you go by and didn't see me and stop, or did see me and stop, or whatever? She just said several words right fast. I said, I won't be called over there. If I'd have been over there in that position, you'd seen me, you'd have condemned me, wouldn't you? I said, I just kept driving. She ain't let me live that down to the day, but she's as good a girl as you'll ever find. But anyway, the beauty of life is this. She's sort of involved in this little tale. It's a true story. It's not a tale, I should say. It's the work of God, I know. But that old Mercury right out there, it's a marquee. It's the big Mercury. It'll hold at least 25, 30. I don't know how many gallons it'll hold. It'll hold 25 gallons, I'm sure. 21 or 25. And we had drove it on empty from almost Rocky Mount. Way down 95, 264, where they cross down in there, down toward Wilson. But we had drove, I put $10 worth gas down there when it was $3 a gallon, 6 months ago probably. And we drove to the church up here at Selma. And, you know, I still had a little gas. I drove back home. I only got, 3 gallons for $3 and didn't put the $10 worth in, trying to get back to where some cheaper gas was. But anyway, we got back home that night after church, then come on home. And that evening we had to go back to church and back home. And finally the gas was getting low enough, the light came on, you know, somewhere about halfway that trip that day. And so we didn't get any gas. So the next day I was over at Mr. Coolidge just helping him cut some trees. And people don't believe in miracles like this, but I believe God can do anything. And I hope you understand that. People don't believe much of this stuff that you'll tell them. Mr. Dowdy questioned that. He said, oh, your gauge must have been wrong. I said, well, it might have been wrong, but I drove it 400 miles later. I put the gas in it. I guess the gauge was wrong. I said, but anyway, quit doubting, Mr. Coolidge, and believe the Lord. But anyway, I gave the boy $10 worth of gas, gave it to him. He said, you going to give the guy the gas? I said, sure. What would you do? He said, well, that's a whole lot of gas, isn't it? It was only a little 5-gallon can, about half full at, you know, $10 ain't much. And so I was giving gas away. The Mercury being almost dead, I was scared to drive it from home to Ronnie Parker's for Joyce.
because I knew it might give out on her. But she drove from there to the Sabaton, where Fieldcrest used to be up there, you know, sort of along there. She drove to that place there. You can get gas now. And so she was scared she wouldn't get there. But she got there. I gave $10 away. It would took, back then, it was taking $40 plus to fill that Mercury up on empty. $40. She put $17 worth of regular gas at $3 a gallon in that car, and it was running out of the neck. And she kept right on saying, there's something wrong with this here pump. And she messed with it. She went and even told a man, said, that pump's wrong or something. She said the reason she did it, she thought that she was going to have to get up there then and look at a $40, $50 thing where you pay up there at the window. And she thought it was going to be way up. He said, ma'am, you got 7 gallons of gas. What do you expect? And it was $17, I think it was. And all of a sudden, she couldn't figure it out. She didn't know I had given the gas away that day. Listen to me. I preached on this scripture that night. Give and it shall be given. She got $17 worth of gas and maybe a cent or two. And that vehicle was full of gas. We drove it a week and didn't ever get off the full mark. But anyway, that car was full. Nobody believed that. My neighbor that said, well, you're going to give that gas away? He didn't believe that. I told him about it. But when she got to telling me at Ronnie Parker 701, when I started to pull on it that night to go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, she said, I got something that's sort of strange happened to me today. I want to tell you about it. And she said, I was getting gas and I got to crying. I said, Lord, thank you for your blessings. And I got to crying. She didn't know nothing about it. I let her tell me the story. And we pulled on 95. We were about over there to Selma exit. And I said, you know, how much did you put in it? And we were driving the car. It was full, full. And she said, I couldn't get, was it 7 gallons something of gas in it today? And it was on dead empty. And the light burning on it, when you know, they'll come on most cars when it gets 30, 40 miles left or 50. But this one came on, and she said, I couldn't get any more. The man said, the machine on the pump is not messed up, ma'am. Said, if it was, I'd have to close it. She thought he was going to be robbed or something, you know, with gas and the money. But anyway, she took her situation. She brought it on to me, and when she shared that with me, I got to crying and just lifting my spirit to the Lord. Said, Lord, thank you. There's a testimony waiting. John David Hill, that man knows him. He told the story, and David Hill would not lie. I know he would not lie. He said years ago, he talked to the man that was going to Texas or somewhere, way out of the country, and he ran out of food. The family needed food. There was no restaurant, nowhere. And they were so hungry, the children were so hungry. And all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, there was a restaurant set up with the finest. The family got out and ate. They got back in the car, and he'd come back looking at that restaurant, has never seen it since. Now, do you believe in God? That's the way it is. God is not short concerning his promises, is he? He don't lie to us. You know what the best thing in the world to do in the revival meeting? Let us not be slack, assembling ourselves together. But let us come on in here and edify each other. But you know why the wise virgins made it and the door was open? You know why the glory of the Lord was upon them? Only glory can get into heaven. Did you know that? The Spirit is glory. The Lord of glory opened the door and they went in. But those that were foolish could not get out of the world. There was nothing left. If you mess around and miss the Lord of glory, my friend, tonight, and if you don't put all you have in worshiping God, if you come to this church without the purpose of true worship to Almighty God, to worship Him in spirit and truth, you're going to hell. You go to heaven spiritually. The body can't get there. Got to be a transformed life. Jesus Christ had a different body, didn't he, when he left. You will have a glorified body when you leave this old world. You're going in the grave with what we got. Flesh and blood's not going up. It's going down. But the glory of the Lord, the spirit and soul, is going to be taken on to be with the Lord. And you'll get a body like his one day. Think about that. The oil makes the difference. The oil is the symbol of his spirit. The oil is the presence of God. The oil is God's answer to humanity. The oil is the only thing that can get you anyway. As I said last night, if the Spirit that dwelt in the Lord Jesus Christ abide in you, then you can get to heaven, because that Spirit is the only thing that quickens you to get out of this world. You say, Brother Billy, you're pretty sharp talking, aren't you there? It's strong stuff, Brother Bunk, when the old flesh has to listen. The flesh has to listen when you preach under the Spirit. If the flesh can't listen, then you can't get any spiritual advice. Sometimes you got to crucify the flesh. You got to get him out of the way and hear the Word of God. The Word is quick and powerful and sharp than any two-edged sword. And I'm telling you, it'll separate the flesh if you're willing to worship God in spirit and in truth. Tonight, we're here for one purpose: to prepare men to the glory of God. To give you an opportunity to say, Lord, one more time I commit myself to you. You know, if I was lost tonight, I'd be on this old altar if I'd heard this message myself and I was lost. I'd be on this altar and I wouldn't want nobody to bother me for a while. I'd want to get with the Lord and talk to him. You know, if you kneel down, sometimes you can't say a word before God. We went over one time some years ago there at Irwin, and we nailed ourselves, about three or four of us. We were praying for revival, and I don't know that I prayed over three or four words. I just knelt there. And an hour or so later, we decided to dismiss. And I didn't have much to tell God, but he sure told me a lot. He got me to a place that I know the difference today between just saying I'm somebody and being somebody. You are somebody. You're someone in Christ Jesus. When you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, you'll make no provision for the flesh. I'm telling you that. The flesh cannot destroy when you make provisions for the Lord Jesus Christ. You put on his body. You don't have a desire for the world. It wants you to live right. Tonight, be honest with yourself. If this revival don't teach you anything and tell you anything, I hope the Spirit will tell you everything. Because he'll do his part if you'll just stop. Don't worry about all the things. People think we need to run the church. You don't need to run God's church. He can handle it good. All you need to do is humble yourself, therefore, by under the mighty hand of God, and let the Spirit of God move in the church that you belong to. And let his will be done. His will, do you hear me? Not mine and his and theirs. As I told my daughter, God has a will, and his will needs to be done. His will, Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. You can see a field church. I can see. I've preached to my people, and I know what the Lord will do for you. He'll fill the church if we'll let him. But we stand in the door. We need to hear him today and get out of the way and get rid of our flesh and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. If you're willing to do that, as we stand and sing, the invitation hymn is yours. If there's something in your life, the wise virgins, be wise. Don't be foolish. Don't think you can by yourself and your own merits. It is God that does the work for you.